the promise here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived through the exile, but he promised, the Lord promised through him that he'd bring everybody back, for everybody who wanted to come. You know, if you've been living there for a couple of generations, look, my son is in Babylon, you, I don't think I want to go back there, you know. But the people who heard the Lord went back. And they went back to a shambles, and they wept, but they rebuilt it. When they rebuilt the temple, there's a marvelous line in the Book of Kings. So they all came together with this rebuilt temple. Now the old folks who could remember the great, beautiful temple wept at this miserable little substitute. But the young people who never had seen the temple rejoiced. We have a temple. We can worship God. And the last line of that section is, and the sound of the weeping and the sound of the rejoicing mingled together and you couldn't tell them apart. Ambiguity. So he says here, but I'm going to raise them up. And so then no longer as the Lord lives who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but rather as the Lord lived who brought the descendants of the house of Israel up from the land of the north. We will always remember that. That by his disposition, Cyrus let us go home and be there. But that was had to be because the Messiah had to be born in Israel. And so that's the... But I want to talk a little bit more about the... Why do you think God did it this way? Mary was pregnant. Says she was found with child. I'm sure she told Joseph what happened. Not right away, because he, you know, but when he knew, and he said, you see, he's a righteous man. That means he keeps the law. But he's unwilling to expose her to shame. He was just undone. You know, St. Bernard says his reaction was a lot like that of Peter after that great catch of fish. There's something going on here beyond me. Lord, just, you know, part from me. I'm a sinful man. Joseph had that kind of a, this is over my head. You know, this beautiful woman whom I know loves the Lord with every fiber of her being, and she's pregnant without any contact with a man. I think she told him that, of course, you know. I mean, they're married or going to be married. And he was just, he didn't know what to do. And he thought, well, like Peter, I'm just going to get out of here. It's too holy for me. So he just thought he'd divorce her quietly. And, you know, it was over his head. That's why the angel says, you see, do not be afraid to take Mary. I don't want to get near this. Somehow this is from God. I know that woman. I know she's not lying. But that's as far as I can go. Now you have to say to yourself, why would God put Joseph through all of that? He could have revealed himself from the day that Mary conceived Jesus, but he didn't. Why? To give Joseph a chance to trust God and to trust Mary. That's why. Well, that was an awfully hard call. Yes. But you know, we're not in life to just sort of find a big comfy blanket and sleep, you know. But the Father trusted Joseph with that. And you see how that love for her and that trust in her, you see, was bigger than anything else. It's just out of my league. I mean, that's... He's a very holy man. You know, he's the patron of the whole church now. But that reaction was, oh boy, This is God conceiving a child who's going to be the Messiah in the womb of Mary. And I mean, boy, that's over my head. And it's too holy for me to be around. And that interpretation is patristic. And it goes on in St. Bernard. But it kind of petered out. But I think it's the right way to look at that. So that's... But it introduces this whole question of why doesn't God do these things in an ordinary way? Ordinary to us because we're used to it. You know, I mean, there's nothing extraordinary for God. We can meditate on that today, you know. When things are sometimes hard to figure out, we trust God. See, at the very source of the Emmanuel, God with us, is the call on Mary's life and the call on Joseph to just trust it all and then be the head of the house. You know, he ran that house. Mary, don't do that now, do it later. I mean, he's the head of the house. God, my son, come to supper. Did you ever think of that? So I think it's what's the right word? It's woven into the very fiber of humanity, the incarnation. He didn't drop down out of heaven on a beautiful, lightsome cloud and say, I'm here to save you, did he? He was born. And he was born, you know, from a poor family. When they got to Bethlehem and everybody said, you know, all the prices are going up, of course, like everywhere. I mean, like the census and so everybody's got to go back to where their clan is from. Well, Joseph's clan, Mary's clan, and therefore Jesus's clan, are David's clan. He's Ben David. In fact, he is the son of David. He's the one that God promised to give to David, right? See, this is why we got to keep reading the Bible till it gets kind of part of our inside culture, you know? Remember, David wanted to build a house, right? A temple. This, you know, we got this tent from the desert. And it's about time we did something about that. And Nathan says, do what is ever in your heart. The Lord is with you. And that night, you remember, the Lord came to David and said to Nathan and said, no, you are not, you've got blood on your hands. You know, I told you to get the blood. It's not that, but I mean, you're not supposed to do that. Your son will do that. But that's why it's still the Bet David, right? It's David's house. But I will, you see, because God said to him, in effect, through Nathan, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house, the house of David. And from that place will come the one to save my people. Just every time I read this, I think, Father, couldn't you have done that an easier way? You know what? It's so woven into humanity, isn't it? And he has to trust God. Well, it's the beginning now. You see, here we are getting so close to Christmas that we're starting to really think about this. And it's that human. It's that human. All this sort of fear and doubt and awe and, you know. And then he's born. Not in a palace. In a stable with animals. That's God. Think about that once in a while when we're tempted to be offended because somebody I don't know, insulted us or didn't invite us to the party or, you know. What about God? He came, was born of a woman, but he wasn't even born in the normal circumstances. He was in a stable. That ought to help us a little bit when we get a big ego, right?